Okay, another podcast. And we're here in, where are we? Calver this morning. And we've got Robin and...
Martin.
Another Martin for once. Okay, off you go. Whatever you want. A conversation.
A conversation.
Tommy, a natural conversation.
I don't know you very well, Robin. Tell me what you do.
So, I'm Robin, and I run an online marketing agency near Matlock in a village called Cromford.
Oh yeah.
And I help companies succeed online. I do web development, search engine optimization, email marketing, lead generation for quite a variety of companies. Generally SMEs, but it can be from fertility clinics, pharmaceuticals, and broadly speaking, healthcare to photographers, artists, e-commerce, craft beer producers. So quite a variety of companies, and I'm also chairman of a local business group called Business Peak District. And we are a collection of around 600 members of businesses in and around the Peak District. So you don't have to be in the Peak District to be a member. And again, our membership is pretty broad. A lot of it is visitor economy. So we have a lot of bed and breakfasts and shops and service providers into the industry. And we also have manufacturing companies and service companies like the accountants and lawyers, and it doesn't really matter what industry you're in. We try and be a voice and a lobby and a community for businesses in and around the Peak District. So we have our partners, the likes of Derbyshire Dales, High Peak Borough Council, Staffordshire Moorlands, the National Park, Marketing Peak District in Derbyshire, Derbyshire County Council, with whom we can voice our interests as a business on various committees, lobbies and groups.
What's the business environment like for small businesses in the Peak District, would you say?
Well, you know, the dreaded B word at the moment, I guess, is playing on everybody's mind. I think my feeling is businesses are fairly optimistic about the future. I think we do need to get over this Brexit hurdle.
Yeah.
But I do sense a general optimism as opposed to a pessimism. People are looking forward to the future. I come to networking groups such as this, and people are really optimistic. They're starting businesses, they're going places, and they're generally cheerful, happy people and business owners.
It's a bit in conflict with what you hear in the media about the future.
It is. Maybe
the future. That's a good one.
Well, the future. but maybe. So we do live in a wonderful part of the country.
Oh, that's the thing. Why are we here?
Yeah.
There's a good one. That can get out of
the way. And the benefits, the mental and physical and wellness benefits of being in the Peak District. Mm. Or being in the countryside, be it the North York Moors or the Lake District, are well known. And geographically speaking, we are in the heart of the UK.
Yeah.
So we can get to anywhere, from Edinburgh to London to Birmingham, Manchester, you know, due to our geographical location. So there are so many benefits to living and working in the Derbyshire Dales in the Peak District. Just don't tell anyone.
keep it a secret.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, so they say this, but isn't it? I mean, we're at the moment. Was it the 70th anniversary of the National Park?
Yes. Park. Yes. Yes.
That
it is.
Sort of
it is. Yeah.
If you throw all these little things in, I actually agree with you, and also there is a massive amount of optimism over the so-called national demise.
And,
but what kind of upsets me a little bit is about that how people are perceiving what's happening here from abroad. I'm sure you've got friends abroad, and they read newspapers.
Yeah.
And you say, well, actually, no, they're always sending you food parcels.
it's just not what's happening.
So how do we counter that then? What do you do, Martin, then, that you think would...
To counter that?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure that's within my remit, but...
I do think businesses, given the current climate, the economic and political climate, I do think businesses, certainly small businesses, are just getting on with things.
Yeah.
But they do want to have a conclusion to Brexit. Maybe a large company with more than 250 employees and debt and international business, they will have a different set of priorities. But for businesses in and around the Peak District, Derbyshire Dales, East Midlands, small companies, I do just get the feeling that we are getting on with things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's that word you keep hearing is certainty. Businesses want certainty. I mean, even on a personal level, when you hear the news and, you know, one day it feels like you're going towards no deal. The next day we've got a deal. Then there's talk about, well, actually, we're going to revoke the whole thing. And each time you hear any one of those things, as a person, just on a personal level, you get a little bit of anxiety because you start thinking, well, what does that mean? So when you then extrapolate that across to business, and there's all these maybe three or four very varying options about where we might end up, it's just not, it just doesn't help. It doesn't help people to plan.
No.
But just once we get, as you said earlier, once you get over that hurdle, and we know where we are. I think, you know, within this country, it's always been a resourceful country. We've always had an entrepreneurial spirit.
Yeah,
I agree. I don't think that's going to change.
No, I think you're right. I think it is that. It is the entrepreneurialism. Even with colleagues in and around work, this hurdle we've got to get over does cause anxiety, as you say, and potential conflict within the office. Mm. It's not good for anybody.
No, if when you business, and I don't know about you, but certainly these networking things that I go to, I tend to pick and choose. But the business and the personal are intrinsically linked. You know, the business is you.
Yes, it is.
And that's true. Where people look at you and they trust you. And I was always talking about it. But the one thing I was trying to get over about climate action, which is, you know, the Peak District, I've seen in the time I've lived here massive differences in the physical presence, you know, and you know, the look and feel of the Peak District. And it changes, you know, quite quickly. Yeah.
Is that natural change, or are you talking about the built environment?
I think the pressures on the area have created change.
Right.
It's natural. It's nature's response. Yeah, okay. So it's a natural change in that sense. But whether it's in the right, but it's just, I think people are now beginning to think a little bit more inwardly. But at the same time, you know, they're thinking how they make a business or something like that, or run a business, and that they've. I get a feeling that people are much more wanting to become engaged with where they live, rather than just leaving it to the politicians.
Mm.
So the idea that people are just getting on with it, they are getting on with it, but maybe with another agenda or something bigger. Maybe think they can.
Well, I sense. I've lived overseas before. I've lived in London, but I sense in and around the Peak District, and it may be due to being a rural community, a sense of community.
Do you think it's like a natural resilience, do you mean, or do you just mean just the whole people coming together?
I think people take a lot of pride in where they live and work.
Right.
And sure, whether you live in a city, an urban community, or or in the Peak District or Lake District or other communities, I get a real sense of community here.
Right. Is that getting stronger?
I think so.
Yeah.
And that I don't find in other places I've lived and worked. Perhaps it's because people tend to live and work in and around the Peak District. Sheffield, Derby and Nottingham are very close. People do commute there. But if you live in, let's just take London, if you live in the suburbs of London, you're likely to commute in many, many miles on a pretty weary journey, day in, day out. But I think over here, in the Peak District, the Derbyshire, people probably tend to live and work closer than having a commute like they do Manchester, Birmingham.
I think in the bigger cities, it's just the way that society's developed probably over the last 20, 30 years. I've lived in London and abroad in Sydney, and you've seen it over the last 10, 15 years where this idea of community, I think it's developed into kind of online communities. So you have people, well, it's the whole, you know, you see it with Brexit, you know, people with very strong opinions on either side. And it's all fueled by the fact that we've now got social media and people kind of break off into different groups. Mm. Whereas I guess in a place like this, it's different. It's almost not removed from all that, because obviously people are connected to that, but there's still a kind of an older tradition here, I think. And there's still, I guess there's still, you know, there's newcomers into this area, but there are families that have been here for generations as well.
Yeah.
So there's that kind of the roots about the place as well.
Yeah.
That gives it a different feel.
So people going back to that idea, or you think it's a forward thinking, bringing more of that thought into the 21st century?
I think it exists here. I think, I'm not saying that the Peak District is cut off from the 21st century, because it's still got those. You know, we're still
kind of these values being morphed into something which is relevant to the 21st century. I feel as a community idea, you know, I think we have to kind of reinvent the word community. You know, people talking about online communities, as you say, but you know, is it?
Well, I
just lob this all in the last first few seconds.
People, I say people do business with people,
yes.
And that one day we may, or maybe it's even happening now, we talk about online communities and real live communities.
Mm.
I don't think an online community can really replace one-to-one village community, sports community, interest-based communities, where you actually meet face to face, because it's part of the human nature. You know, we do like meeting and greeting and friendships and relationships and so forth. And you can't get that to a large degree online, although you can spread your net far further online. So you might have interests in animals or in sports or in a certain work activity with people in Australia.
Yeah.
And America and Singapore, you know, but you don't meet them
you meet people that will have shared interests, but then there's also that potential, because it's not in the real world, that when there are disagreements, that then that just becomes heightened, whereas if you're in the real world and dealing with real people, there's the nuance, isn't there? There's the nuance of, okay, that guy doesn't necessarily agree with me, but we'll talk about it,
You're more candid. You're more reserved. Likely, hopefully, you know. Whereas online, you are to a degree behind a mask. You're behind an avatar, a different name.
Yeah.
I think it's maturing a little bit. You need to.
I do need to head off.
That's great.
My apologies.
Just why are you going away? This would be good. Just a final 30 seconds.
Yes.
What are you having done?
I've actually got a flu jab.
A flu jab. There you are. That's another.
Don't forget your flu jabs.
Yeah, I think I'm due to have one in November.
Yeah.
Excellent. Okay then.
Thank you, Martin.
Robin's going, yes.
Yes.
Well, thank you very much. Go on, I'll let you out.
Thank you. Cheers. I will see you in a couple of weeks.
Brilliant. Okay. Thanks for that.
Bye.
Right. We shall just continue for a few seconds. There's two Martins now. Oh, actually, I'm looking at here. We've got van door noises.
Edit.
Yeah, no, yeah. So this is interesting because I'll just say this and as a point of, you know, people will listen and say, okay, do you need to edit these? I genuinely don't think you do, because it just brings out interesting points.
Yeah,
we touched on this of ideas. This, I just wanted to just expand a little bit on the community bit, and you and I were talking about it earlier, weren't we? About just, you know, what is it, you know, getting on texts, talking to people, ringing people up, about how we communicate.
Yeah,
I think it's maturing that people now realise, you know, this analogy with teenagers, you know, the internet is a teenager and all that sort of kind of, and we're learning, and I find that quite exciting. You know, where it's going to take us, I'm looking forward to it rather than criticising where it is at the moment, if you see what I mean.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if we know where it's going to go at the moment. I mean, with, you know, there are obviously positive and negative sides to it. For it to mature, is the level of regulation around it at the right level at the moment? Because, you know, you're around the kind of edges, you have this kind of nastiness.
Mm-hmm.
Do we come to, and obviously we live in a society with free speech, but you're talking about that maturing.
Mm.
Is that something that we can move away from? I don't know.
Don't you think it's like a natural evolution, though, in that things move forward in a and kind of you can't. If you try and manufacture something, it often goes in the opposite direction do you anticipate.
Yeah.
I get the feeling people are wanting to be much more in touch with being natural about what they do, rather than following a trend or a fashion or a something. Now, this makes you sound very old-fashioned in many ways.
I mean, that's really about being true to yourself, isn't it, and true to your own values. And when I'm coaching people, that's a large part of the conversation with people that are stuck in situations that they've developed into. You know, when people move from job to job, sometimes it can be very reactive, just moving towards the next opportunity, but without actually giving things much thought. So when people come to me, it's about actually wanting to do something that's more natural to them in terms of their values and who they are as people. I think if we're talking about the internet, I think it can be a force for good, bringing people together. I think that was the original
linking
idea.
People.
That was the idea.
Yeah.
But in some ways, it has gone a bit off kilter.
Yeah. Well, there's no way. Tim
Berners-Lee,
yes, I lost his name for 2 seconds.
Yeah.
Had any concept of what it he started in the fact that he's been, you know, aligned with being the, you know, the father of the internet. He just wanted to chat to a mate in New York,
yeah,
and talk to the, you know, and have it identified as an individual.
I mean, the problem is human nature, isn't it? It's how do you control human nature? I mean, when people were splitting the atom.
Yeah.
They didn't think it was going to end up with a nuclear bomb at the end of it, and you know that was kind of where it led to.
Yeah.
But then in the other ways, it led to some advances in humankind as well. So there's kind of the positive and the negative in a lot of situations. But
how do we eke out the positive solution from all this? I think it's exciting times at the moment. I look at it like that. I don't necessarily, I'm not thinking that I would necessarily benefit from that, but rather than looking for, you know, gratification for myself particularly. Mm. But the idea that it's actually exciting, I think then you would then extract your own benefits, if you see what I mean, rather than thinking it's all done for you. I guess get the feeling at the moment people will be much more inventive and much more creative than they in when you were complacent.
Yeah.
And I think in some ways we might have been complacent before this.
I think it creates a whole host of opportunities that didn't previously exist.
Yeah. Out of necessity, or do you think? Yeah.
Well, for people like us, but and that's great. I mean, in terms of, if I think about my business and if I was operating it 20 years ago,
mm-hmm.
I'd have to. It's easier these days, in terms of marketing and promoting yourself and getting your message across. And obviously it's no replacement for face-to-face, and people, as I was saying earlier, people buy from people.
Yeah.
But obviously that is a good tool for people to use. For me, it's just that there are people there that will always use things in a negative way as well. So it's just, how can you... I'd like to think that things will develop well. But do you need an element of regulation which I'm not in a philosophical sense, I'm not necessarily, that's not necessarily my approach. You know, I prefer things to kind of evolve and be organic.
Excuse me. Yeah.
But you only have to look at Donald Trump in recent years.
Yeah.
You know, he sends 5 tweets and Turkey are invading Syria.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, obviously, there's more to it than that, but there's the capacity there for some serious things to go wrong, you know. So,
and there is a very definite consequence to that, you know. There's people. Now, I was watching the news last night. Actually, it was quite funny. Well, it wasn't funny because you notice the body language when the Americans met the Turks.
Mm.
You know, it was. A classic example for the cameras, we'll do this, but we'll make it as awkward as possible, you know, and just obviously, you know, it all seemed just staged. That's what it got.
Oh,
to
yeah,
me.
Of course.
You know,
yeah,
and then 10 minutes later, they're saying they've got a ceasefire or something. Like, you know, it seems, well, the way we get the news is an interesting one. I think that's quite interesting, you know, and more often than not, if you ever go to something, you know, or experience something, go to a show or just go to a live event and then you read about it afterwards and you don't recognise anything.
Yeah.
But it was the way you were. You thought, well, that wasn't what happened. Or, you know, so we were fed.
And is that the perspective of the individual reporter?
Yeah.
Or is it because they're working to a certain agenda?
Yeah.
You know.
Who knows?
Who knows? But then you have the internet that comes along and a lot of that is then unfiltered.
Yes.
And people do see things, or get the opportunity to see things in a different way.
Yeah, and it opens up, opportunities. But things happened kind of spontaneously.
Yeah.
Which is an interesting way. Where previously it was manufactured, I mean, in terms of propaganda or that sort of, you know, it was very well crafted.
Yeah.
And strategically, you know, got out there.
But now everything,
you can't keep that.
But everything's happening kind of at a breakneck speed now as well, because...
The horse is always bolted.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
it's bolting every other day, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. How many horses do we need?
Yeah.
Good.
So.
Okay. Right.
I'm not sure we put the world to rights there, but...
No, I don't think we have. But on the other hand, that it's going to be quite interesting. It might spark off some interesting things. And we will get some comments, and I shall feed those back.
Okay.
Anyway, no, we're up. You see, this is what amazes me. 24 minutes.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah. Great. Okay, Martin, wonderful. That was brilliant. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And I shall switch it off again.